Welcome to Marriage Heart to Heart. We're Tom and Elaine Waters with Restoration International, and we're excited about our topic today. It's one of those topics that's going to make a real difference in your marriage if you're willing to take hold of the principles.
Today we're going to be talking about 7 keys to effective communication, so we hope you have your paper and pencil ready to start.
Effective communication, it's made a huge difference in our marriage.
It has.
And you know, one of the deadliest things in marriage is poor communication. It's really like a venom that many marriages get struck by that viper. It's like, it's a poison. And the more of that poison of poor communication that a marriage experiences, the more separation is caused. And then we can't talk about finances. We can't talk about the children. We can't talk about the real needs in the marriage. And as that separation and that poor communication continues, it's really one of the things that begins to lead in the path to divorce.
That's right. Because misunderstandings happen, hurt feelings develop, irritation, mm-hmm. even bitterness and resentment, all because the communication is not good.
That's right. I remember one evening, it wasn't too far into our marriage, I came home from a long day at work, one of those hard days, and I had so much to do when I got home, I really didn't have time to communicate with you. And I didn't really feel like communicating. I just felt like being to myself. And you remember what happened that day?
Oh, yes. I always like you to talk, but I gave you your space so you could do what you needed to do and kind of unwind for the day.
And then the phone rang, and
I answered it.
Yeah, it was kind of a memorable situation.
Because you were too busy.
And so the phone rang, and it was one of my buddies. And you saw a change in me when I got on the phone.
Oh, you came alive. That phone conversation just brought you alive.
This tired man that had too much on his mind and life was too stressful, and I came alive. So I ended up talking for 30 minutes on the phone that day. And I know you remember that.
Yeah, because when you got done, I said, "Who was it?"
Yeah, and I shared it with you, and do you remember the famous question that you asked me?
Yes. What did you talk about?
And you remember the famous answer?
Yes.
I turned to my wife very flippantly. Now, I've just spent 30 minutes. I don't really have time to talk to my wife when I come home from work this particular day. I've got too much to do. I'm too busy. Now, here's an unscheduled phone call from one of my friends. And now I relax and I spend 30 minutes on the phone, laughing, enjoying conversation. And my dear wife asks me what we talked about. And my response was, "Oh, nothing." That wasn't a very pleasant response for you, was it?
No, because it told me that I really wasn't as important as your friend was. And yes. I was just interested in knowing what you talked about. Because you seem so happy and enjoying it so much. Of course, I want to see what it is. Maybe I can do some of that too, you know?
And so really, you weren't looking for a full-blown description that would have taken me another half an hour in my busy schedule.
That's right.
You were just wanting a little overview. And, you know, I'm afraid that that is what's happening too many times in marriages. That kind of scenario where we've got time for everybody else. But somehow we just don't seem to have time for that vital communication, that effective communication that we need for a marriage heart to heart.
I think about every couple has experienced
That's
that.
Right.
And to whatever degree, if it's something that happens on a rare occasion, it's no problem. But if it's something that's happening daily, it is a problem.
Yes.
Marriage is in trouble.
It begins to build barriers. I think it's interesting. Hebrews 13:16 gives us a very important clue about how important communication is. It says there, "To communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." Now that's very interesting, that word sacrifices. I want to underscore that for a minute. Because that tells me that God understands this problem that happens in many marriages. But he also understands that we can't forget how important it is to communicate.
That's
Because if we're willing to communicate, and if we don't forget to communicate, or don't push it off, and we continue to communicate, God is going to be very well pleased. And we've come to find out that we are very well pleased.
That's right, because God's pleased because we're a happy couple.
That's right.
We have harmony and unity because our communication is good. So we need to look at these 7 points of good communication, of effective communication in our homes. First one we want to talk about is taking time for each other, because we can't communicate if we don't take time to do it.
That's right.
So that's the key. That's number one.
You know, and we like to use these simple illustrations, you know, about that telephone call, because many of you can relate to this in your own way, in your own circumstances. But just relating to it is not enough. Those situations and evaluating in our own minds what took place there helped us to begin to say, we need to make a commitment. If we're going to have effective communication, we need to make a commitment that's worthy of our marriage commitment. And so, do you remember the commitment that I made to you?
Yes, I do, dear. You were generous.
We called it our 5-minute time.
That's right.
Now, don't think that it's only 5 minutes, but that's how it started off, and I'll tell you how it happened. I recognized that I needed to be giving my wife a regular time every day that was committed time, time that she could count on. Not only did I make that commitment to you, but I told you that I was going to really listen.
So I could say anything I wanted to
say. Anything you wanted. And do you remember the first day that we had this 5-minute time, yeah. our talk time?
Yeah, it was 5 minutes, but it always went beyond that,
that's
even
right.
From the first day. But what it told me is that you were willing to give me special time every day, and that's really what you were communicating to me, more than just when we can fit it in or when we passed each other, pass on information. And I decided that I wasn't going to start telling you everything on the first day.
You weren't going to just unload on me.
No, I wanted to make it very positive for you. And this is important. When you get that time, don't start it by all the things that you're not happy with or that you'd like to see improved. Start it in a positive way.
And you know, one of the things that I committed to in my own heart when I made that commitment to you was that I was going to really endeavor to listen. Did you hear that word?
I did.
Did you hear that word? Listen. That is a very important word. And listening, as far as I'm concerned, and what I tried to commit to my wife in that situation was, I'm going to listen so that you are really understood. And I want to know that you're understood. And I want to make sure that I'm listening, not just waiting to say what I want to say. Because, you know, many times when we're listening, we can be, the brain is incredible. We can be listening or partially listening.
Hearing words.
And thinking about what we're going to say to respond. And I made a commitment to myself, and I didn't say this directly to you, but I wanted to try to really listen for you, what you were really saying, mm-hmm. and know that I was understanding you before I responded. Because in our past communication, many times I cut you off. Oh, I know what you're going to say. Don't say it. I know what you're thinking.
We've both done that, right?
Yes, we have. But I recognized I needed to take responsibility for that, for effective communication. So we made time together. We took that time faithfully, and I listened to really understand you. And you know what your response was to me that really meant a lot to me? As a result of me listening to you with understanding, you started wanting to hear my perspective again.
Mm-hmm. And that's really effective communication.
That's right.
So that brings us to point number two. Listen with a heart to hear, not
That's
just
right.
a head, but a heart, that I really understand you and you really understand me. And we agreed that we would hear what the other one was saying, and we would listen with our heart.
That's right.
And then we would repeat it back. So if you said something to me, I would clarify, this is what I'm hearing you say. This is what I understand you to say.
Yes.
And then...
And not a mechanical way.
Not in a mechanical way, but just share back what I'm understanding you saying.
That's right.
And that was very important, because we found out that sometimes our problem was I was hearing but not understanding. You were giving the time, but I wasn't understanding, or you weren't understanding.
That's right.
So hearing with a heart, hearing with your heart, means that we're going to hear what the person has to say, and we're going to say it back so that we have clarification. Doesn't mean that I have to agree with you or that you have to agree with me, But we have to understand each other. That's the second point.
That's right. And, you know, the beauty of that is that if we really have that desire, which we do have and we have for many years now, when we have that desire to really listen and really understand, even though we don't have to agree on everything, we can have differing perspectives. But the beauty of it is that we agree on many more things because of that kind of communication. Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk about that third area of effective communication, and that is that we can have differing opinions and differing perspectives. It doesn't mean that my wife has to think like I think, or I have to think like she thinks in order to blend our lives together. The two shall become one. It means that we have to be able to communicate in such a way that we have the openness, we have the willingness, we have the desire, the understanding that we can blend together. And you can still be your individual and I can still be mine. We can still hold differing opinions and differing perspectives. But where many people get confused is that we cannot try to live on different principles.
That's right.
Effective communication means that we can have differing perspectives on things that are, you know, non-moral issues, things that don't affect the principles of God's Word and don't affect the morality and the integrity of our marriage and family. But we can't go around having different perspectives on principles.
That's right.
And the reason that many people have the differing perspective on principles is, number one, because many times we're not going to God's Word for that sure foundation that we've talked about. Secondly, we're not willing to let self die. That's the me focus that we've talked about earlier. We want to hold on to my me focus and not let that go. Therefore, we divide. And you view principle this way, I view principle this way. So maybe we should give them a little illustration about the difference between perspective and principle.
Well, one of the things that I remember that's happened more than a few times in our home is that when we're at a meal table, and I'd like the children just to try something once. They don't have to like it. They don't have to eat a whole helping of it, but
sure,
just to try it. And so I may say to them, you know, Allison, I'd like you to, you know, try this. Before you decide you don't like it, just take a bite.
Might not look good, but
don't have to like it. Just try
it.
And you may have a totally different perspective. You know, for you, it's not important that they try it.
That's right.
And
that's
so
one of the things that we've differed on.
That's right. And so if I've made that request, then you support me in that.
That's right.
And if you have let out and said, oh, it doesn't matter, then I support you in that.
That's right.
And we have a differing perspective, but our communication is good, and we have that understanding. And so then we parent in agreement with our young people.
We don't
give them a different message.
That's right. So we can still have a different perspective, but our children see that although we hold a different opinion, we can support each other in that. When we're visiting family or friends or whatever, I can support you in that position. Or if I'm the one that happens to be in the situation to make it vocal, you know, about that situation, you can support me. But what about the principle of Ephesians 6:1 that says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, can we have a differing opinion on that and still have effective communication?
No.
No. And many parents today do have that differing opinion. You've got one parent who lets the children get away with anything and is compromising and is indulging, and they're telling the child, no, you can't do this, and the child does it anyway, and the parent does nothing about it. So here's the child getting one message from a parent that's very confusing. I don't really have to obey mommy in this situation because mommy just lets me do it. But now when daddy comes home, daddy makes me obey. That's not a good message for our children. That doesn't send them an effective communication message. So
Breaks down our communication.
That's right. It breaks down our communication. It puts us against one another at a variance. So we can have differing opinions on perspectives and those kinds of things. But when we come to the principles of God's Word, we need to give a balanced message. And we need to give you a break right now. And we'll be right back to talk about the rest of those principles about effective communication. Stay with us.
Welcome back. We've been talking about effective communication, and we're looking at point number four to have effective communication is that we have to be positive in our communication. We have to appreciate one another. Say things of appreciation, express that, and say things in a positive way. I remember I used to say things like this: oh, my husband's not any good at that. Can you help us with, like, mechanical things or home maintenance things? You know, we'll get a friend who's a plumber. Can you do this? My husband's not any good at that. That form of communication is really a put-down to you, and I didn't even realize that.
I didn't really, you know, even understand that when we were doing it in those days.
It really didn't affect you that way, but God put in my heart, I could say something better. Effective communication is positive. You know, can you help us with this plumbing job? That's not one of my husband's strengths.
Certainly makes it sound better.
Yeah, it is.
Not that he's just terrible at it, but it's just not one of his high on the priority list of strengths.
But looking for ways to communicate something in the most positive way will improve our communication. And when our communication is positive, we have a marriage that's heart to heart.
That's right.
And showing appreciation, many times you'll say, honey, thank you for the meal. I mean, I feed you every day, and every day you have some words of appreciation. It's not take it for granted. And that influence is transferred to our children in the home, and it creates the atmosphere, not just between us that's at peace and rest and happy, but also in the entire family. So the positive communication has been very beneficial.
Well, you know, if you think about it, all of us like appreciation. I mean, don't you like to be appreciated? Doesn't it feel nice when somebody notices that you did a good job or when you did something special? Now, we shouldn't be doing it for that motivation, certainly, but it's encouraging. You know, the lawn looks great, honey. You know, those are words of encouragement that even though I'm going to still mow the lawn, when I hear my wife say that to me, it just, it's nice. So I think we've learned and are continuing to learn that if we express those words of appreciation, and I do for the meals, like you said.
You do for a lot of things.
And it's because I really do appreciate. Mm-hmm. I appreciated you homeschooling our children through all those years. I really genuinely appreciate it as I saw the fruit in our young people and saw their success as they went on in their careers. It's been a blessing. Mm-hmm. I genuinely appreciate it. And lots of people do genuinely appreciate things, but they never express it. And it's like receiving a flower. I mean, I can think nice things about you, but it's nice once in a while to give you a rose. Or, you know, it says something in a little different way.
That's right. And when we increase our positive communication in the home, it also increases the little things we do for each other, the little acts of kindness.
Yes.
You know, like with you mowing the lawn, oh, I'll bring you out a glass of water because I appreciate what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And so it goes from our words and it moves to our actions.
Yeah, and I want to encourage the people. I think a lot of this, we do it out there. We express appreciation. We write maybe nice thank you notes and we
get a great job at somebody at work.
You know, we express it out there. Let's express it here in the marriage. Let's express it in the family, because that's where it needs to be happening the most. Well, let's move on to number five. Being sensitive or being aware of the nonverbal communication that takes place. Because do you know that even in our silence, we're communicating? There's communication that comes through in the countenance on the face. There's communication that's coming through in the expression in the eyes. And so we need to be sensitive to that nonverbal communication, because I can be saying one thing and be feeling something else. And what I'm feeling, you'll probably know after living with me for this long.
That's right. Because we really gain more by the expression than we do the words. Because the words can be under control or managed, and even the me focus to some degree. But what's inside can't be.
That's
where the real message is coming from. So to be sensitive to our communication and how we respond non-verbally. That means our heart has to be right. The source has to be pure.
Yeah.
That's what God wants to do in our hearts.
I remember, I was just smiling because I remember that one day we were having a little family council together. It was a little impromptu family council, and the children had something that they really felt they needed to share. And that's something we have really encouraged in our home is what we call family counsel. You can come together and you can share what's on your heart, and we'll talk about it, and we'll get a resolution. So that day that they had come, and we were talking together, and it seemed like I was having a little bit of a difficulty getting out of them what they really wanted to say. And I finally said to them, you know, is there something that is keeping you from just opening up? And one of them said, well, Father, it's that wrinkled forehead. And I said, wrinkled forehead? What do you mean, wrinkled forehead? And I started doing this, and they said, no, Father, that's not what we mean. I said, is it like this? No, you can't make it happen except when you are really doing it. But when you get that wrinkled forehead, it kind of tells us that maybe this isn't the best time to communicate this. And so you remember I said to them, well, I don't want to have a wrinkled forehead anymore, because in our home, we're serious about living real Christianity.
That's right.
So I gave them permission from then on to tell me, if I'm getting a wrinkled forehead, you have permission to respectfully tell me that I've got a wrinkled forehead, and by God's grace, I'm going to deal with this. And have I dealt with it, dear?
I haven't seen it in so long. I told you earlier, I almost forgot what it looks like. I'll have to wait till the next time.
And I
you
want
can't
that,
mimic it.
Yeah, I want that to be an encouragement to our listeners. These things that are difficult, the things that break effective communication, these things can be changed if we're willing to cooperate with the Lord.
The sixth thing we want to talk about to effective communication is to stay on the topic. And you have been great in our marriage to keep me on the topic. Because sometimes what breaks communication down is that something little starts, mm-hmm. and one of those communication breakers enter, and then we're down here and here and here, and pretty soon we're in a big disagreement over something that wasn't even the issue.
Yeah, it wasn't even what we started with.
It wasn't where we started. So stay on the topic, whatever it is. If there's a problem that has to be addressed, let's stay with the topic. And
that's
it
right.
Really decreases the potential for frustration.
Amen. And area number 7, the last area that we want to talk about, is honesty and integrity. Those are powerful words. And unfortunately, in many marriages, there isn't open, honest communication. And we're actually going to spend, we felt that this was important enough, we're going to spend a whole program talking about honesty and integrity. But it's been vital in our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the honesty we're talking about is not just telling the truth. It goes way beyond that. What are we hiding from one another? And why are we hiding? What's the motivation behind it? So that has been a tremendous blessing as we have been building a marriage that's heart to heart.
That transparency in our marriage,
yes.
between each other, which only improves our communication, because we know when we share with each other, we're open and honest, even if the things we have to share are difficult to share.
That's right. So we want to give you a personal challenge today, that you will take time daily. This question of communication is so vital. If you're experiencing the tragic results of poor communication, if you feel the walls are there, and if only one of you recognizes it, now's the time to begin introducing effective communication on a daily basis. Make a positive suggestion that you're willing to begin participating with a regular scheduled time of communication.
And then agree, even if it's just one person, we can agree in our own mind that I'm going to communicate and listen with my heart. If one person does that in the marriage, you already see improvement, because it's what's happening in your heart that can make the difference. So really listen with your heart. Don't try to think what they're going to say and finish their sentences or get your spiel ready to present. Listen with your heart. And then make sure that you understand before you draw your conclusions.
That's right. And then we need to allow for a differing perspective. A differing perspective. Not on the principles of God's Word. We need to be united there, but a different perspective on how we see life.
Express appreciation. That is something that happens regularly in our home. And it has meant so much. It opens communication. I feel like sharing more. I feel like sharing my heart with my husband when there's that positive expression and that appreciation in our communication.
and be sensitive to those nonverbal communications, the messages that are being given through what's really in the heart.
Yes. I can't control what my husband expresses, his nonverbals, but I can allow Christ to work in my heart at the source, and my nonverbals can be more positive.
And then remember to stay on the topic. Remember what you really wanted to talk about, and don't get sidetracked with all those other issues that want to come in and take you down a wrong track.
Don't bring up that past. Stay on the topic, and then be honest in your communication. Even if you're concerned, it might be a little hurtful. Be honest and sensitive in how you present it.
We want you to experience a marriage heart to heart. And as we continue to grow in our marriage, we know that the main key force behind it is our willingness to surrender and receive the power of Jesus Christ. And we want to turn there for just a moment as we close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can come to you. We want to have effective communication, and we know part of that is that we need to effectively communicate with you through your word and through our time in prayer. And Father, I just pray for our viewing audience today that if there's communication barriers, things that have broken down the communication, that our listeners would take courage and hope to continue to move forward with a new desire to communicate effectively. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. We hope you'll join us next time as we continue talking about effective communication. This next time we'll be talking about Please Understand Me. We all want to be understood, and we all want a marriage heart to heart.
This has been a Three Angels Broadcasting Network production.